Love and Like Evangelism, Chapter 7, The Methods, New Testament Principles. Key verse, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Introduction. This lesson begins the first of several that focus on evangelism methods. A method is an organized way of doing something. If you are to be successful in the task of evangelism, you must use scriptural methods. Practical methods that have been proven by experience are also helpful. This lesson focuses on New Testament methods of evangelism. Chapter 8 concerns additional principles revealed in parables about evangelism recorded in the New Testament. Chapter 9 explains how to do personal evangelism, and Chapter 10 deals with difficulties encountered in the process. Saturation evangelism is discussed in chapter 11 and mass evangelism in chapter 12. As you begin this study on methods of evangelism, it is important to remember that while there are certain proven approaches that have been effective in evangelism, God may have a different method for you to follow in each situation. In doing the work of an evangelist, always ask the Holy Spirit to give you His anointed touch. He knows the heart of the person you are dealing with. It is the role of the Holy Spirit to guide and anoint you, to give you understanding and compassion, and to convict the unsaved of sin and draw them to respond to the gospel. New Testament Evangelism. When a movement grows from a dozen peasants in an unimportant corner of the world to be the official religion of the civilized world within 300 years, it is wise to examine it and learn from its approaches. That movement is Christianity, and its methods are recorded in God's Word, the Holy Bible. Review the Gospels, Acts, and the Epistles, and you'll find several basic methods of evangelism. In New Testament times, evangelism was backed by prayer. Prayer is one of the most important scriptural methods of evangelism. As Jesus viewed the natural harvest fields, which represented the spiritual harvest fields of a world lost in sin, the first thing he commanded was to pray. Jesus did not say, "The fields are ready for harvest, go." "The fields are ready for harvest, organize." "The fields are ready, so make plans." "The fields are ready, so raise funds." "The fields are ready, so educate people." "The fields are ready, so appoint a committee to study them." He said, "The fields are ripe unto harvest. Pray ye." In the New Testament, we learn that the early church was constantly in prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The first missionary journey developed from prayer. Acts chapter 13, verse 3. Paul insisted that the churches pray for him as he evangelized. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. We need to stop depending on all we know about missions, unreached people, and ways to communicate the gospel. These are important, but we need to concentrate more attention on the first command. Pray ye. The first priority. Evangelism was not just one of many activities of the early church, it was the main priority. Today, evangelism and missions comes far down on the list of priorities for many individuals and churches. In New Testament times, evangelism was a natural, spontaneous sharing of the good news. It was engaged in continuously by all believers. The practice was to go where people were and disciple them. Today, we invite people to church and hope they will come. In modern times, the church invites, while the first church invaded. Everyone did the work of evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Each believer took the Great Commission as a personal command to evangelize. They did it everywhere, not just in the church building. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. They did it every day. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, not just periodically during an evangelistic campaign. Every church reproduced, every member reproduced, and every home was a center of evangelism. When necessary, believers even worked to support themselves in order to spread the gospel. The Apostle Paul did this. It may seem foolish that a man of Paul's ability, education, and spiritual gifts should do manual labor to support himself. He had the right to claim full support from the churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 15, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. But at the same time, he was prepared, if necessary, to support himself in order to spread the gospel. He did this on several occasions. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. In many nations today, the custom is that pastors and evangelists are fully paid for their efforts. This has blocked the spread of the gospel and the planting of new churches. Believers also tend to leave the task of evangelism to the full-time ministers because they are getting paid for it. There are also many churches without pastors because they are not able to support a full-time pastor, and the possibility of working has not been considered. If we are to impact the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must return to evangelism as the first priority. We must do it everywhere, every day, and if necessary, get a job and work in order to get the message out. Holy Spirit directed. In every evangelistic advance recorded in Acts, the Holy Spirit is the motivator and energizer. In the modern church, especially in Western nations, managerial skills and committee meetings often replace dependence on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the director of evangelism. There are many passages in Acts that illustrate the Holy Spirit at work, but the following are central in terms of evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit is to empower the witness of believers. Acts chapter 2. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given and promised to all believers. Acts chapter 4. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, testified regarding the miracle experienced by the lame man in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 5, verse 52. Peter declared that we are witnesses along with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Stephen charged Jewish leaders that did not accept the gospel with resisting the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit after his conversion. Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius, bringing them to conversion. Acts chapter 11, verse 12. Peter explained that he went to Caesarea because of the Holy Spirit's instructions to him. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas into evangelistic work. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. The Holy Spirit forbid Paul to minister in Asia. The Holy Spirit directs evangelism through the Word of God by supernatural guidance, by calling and enabling workers, and by correcting our plans to bring them into harmony with God's purpose. Accomplished by specific planning. When Jesus first began his ministry, he announced a 6-point plan. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. Jesus followed this plan throughout his earthly ministry, and the first church continued with this pattern. Jesus later gave a plan for the extension of the gospel to the nations of the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The disciples were to first evangelize Jerusalem, then go on to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. This is still the Lord's plan for evangelism. You are to start right where you are and continue in ever-expanding circles until you are touching the nations of the world. Your Jerusalem is the community in which you live. There are thousands of Christians who give to and pray for missions, but have never walked across the street to tell a neighbor about Jesus. Some churches have tremendous missions programs overseas, but are doing nothing to evangelize their own city, except for those who happen to come into their church building. Satanically opposed. Satanic opposition was actually used by God in New Testament times to further the cause of evangelism. Study the following passages. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 24. Herod killed James, then imprisoned Peter. This was political opposition. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40, and chapter 19, verses 23 through 41. Evangelism conflicted with business interests in the cities of Ephesus and Philippi. Persecution arose from the economic world. Acts chapter 4 through chapter 7. In these chapters, there is a record of persecution from the religious leaders of the time. Acts chapter 11. This passage records opposition from within the church itself because of the tradition of the Jews. This is internal opposition. Acts chapters 8, 13, and 16. These chapters record direct satanic opposition through Simon, Elymas, and a demon-possessed girl. When you are invading Satan's kingdom with the good news of the gospel, you must expect opposition from the political, economic, and religious worlds. You must also expect internal attacks from within the church and direct attacks from Satan. Rather than permitting these attacks to stop you, use them as opportunities to further the gospel as they did in New Testament times. Focused on both groups and individuals. All New Testament evangelistic methods can be considered under either personal or group evangelism. The ministry of Jesus, the disciples, Paul the Apostle, and others demonstrate the importance of both formal and informal approaches. Jesus ministered to many large groups while he was on earth. These occasions stand out in our minds because of the excitement that marked these events. But from the beginning to the end of his ministry, Jesus also invested his life in winning men and women, one by one, through personal evangelism. In the parable about the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7, Jesus was clearly describing his own method of evangelism, for he called himself the Good Shepherd. Peter preached to crowds in Jerusalem at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. This was group evangelism. He also shared the gospel personally with Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. This was personal evangelism. Philip preached to great crowds in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 6, and personally to the Ethiopian man in the desert, Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 35. Paul had crowds so great in some of his meetings that they ended in riots, but he never stopped dealing with individuals. Never get so involved with the masses that you forget the individual. Jesus was constantly calling individuals out of the crowd to confront them with the claims of the gospel of the kingdom. Both individual and group evangelism are effective biblical methods. Accompanied by the demonstration of power. New Testament evangelism was accompanied by the demonstration of God's power. Jesus commanded his disciples, "As you go, heal the sick, cast out demons." The demonstration of God's power takes the words you speak and makes them effective. His word was with power, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Luke chapter 4, verses 32 and 36. The demonstration of power confirms the word with signs following. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. God's power is present to heal as you evangelize. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. The power of God brings deliverance. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. God's power verifies the gospel. To verify means to prove something. The power of the Holy Spirit proves the reality of God's word. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. John chapter 6, verse 2. The demonstration of power directs people to God, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. You will learn more about the demonstration of power and evangelism in part 2 of this course, entitled As You Go. Strategically mobile. Believers in the first church were constantly on the move for the sake of the gospel, effectively penetrating areas that were ready to receive the word. We call this being strategically mobile, which means being able to move quickly to areas of receptivity. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we find that the church was forced into strategic mobility by persecution. When believers were scattered because of persecution in Jerusalem, they went everywhere preaching the word. In Acts chapter 8, there is an excellent example of strategic mobility. When Philip was in Samaria reaping a great spiritual harvest, the Lord called him to go to the desert. God had a mission for him with an Ethiopian man who would play a tremendous role in evangelizing Africa. Philip immediately left Samaria and went to the desert. If we are to understand strategic mobility, we must have both a harvest and a soldier mentality. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, Jesus compared world evangelism to the natural harvest. If we are to reap the harvest when it is ready, we must go where the harvest is when it is ripe. We must be willing to move or stay in order to accommodate the harvest. We must also have a soldier mentality. When we become believers, we enlist in the spiritual army of the kingdom of God. We are called to endure hardness as a good soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. A soldier cannot retreat or go on leave just because things get tough. The test of a good soldier is not his appearance during a parade, but his performance on the battlefield. A soldier does not choose his assignment, and he does not act today on the basis of orders received 20 years ago. They were good orders then, but have long since become obsolete. Thus, a soldier of Jesus Christ is open to fresh assignments and revelations from the Holy Spirit. Jesus was speaking of strategic mobility when he told his followers that they were not to continue to sow on barren ground. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Paul followed this command of dust shaking. In Acts chapter 13, verses 51 through 52, the ministry of the gospel was rejected in Antioch of Pisidia, so Paul left there and went to Iconium. Jesus was strategically mobile. He went from village to village sharing the gospel. When the disciples tried to get him to limit his ministry to one place, he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Accomplished by networking. Networking is another New Testament method of evangelism. Networking simply means team effort, people working together for the common cause of spreading the gospel. In New Testament times, evangelism was done by believers networking together for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Christians were not separated by denominational lines or busy promoting their own churches or organizations. We must return to networking in order to make the best use of available resources to reap the great spiritual harvest God promised in these end times. You will learn more about networking for evangelism in chapter 15 of this course. Culminated in church planting. New Testament evangelism resulted in the formation of a local fellowship of believers. This is called church planting. The work of evangelism is not complete until new believers become a functioning part of the church. You will learn more about church planting in part 3 of this course, where you will study in detail the methods used by the Apostle Paul. In New Testament times, converts were turned to disciples within the context of the local church. You will learn more about this process in chapter 13, Decisions or Disciples. The results of the witness. The results of these New Testament methods of evangelism were tremendous, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. A local congregation at Ephesus took the gospel to every person in the province of Asia within 2 years. Acts chapter 19, verse 10. A similar group at Thessalonica evangelized most of Greece. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. When the disciples came to Thessalonica, the tremendous results of their evangelistic efforts were summarized by religious leaders who said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Acts chapter 17, verse 6. They turned the world upside down. And all this was done in a wicked and godless society without printing presses, church buildings, seminaries, denominational headquarters, and modern means of mass communication and rapid transportation.